Joining me this week is Steve Philby from Evil Empire. They're still making Dead Cells. This is How Games Make Money. I'm Jeff Grubb. Let's do it. In this episode, I'm talking to Steve about running Evil Empire, leaving Motion Twin to start Evil Empire, and how that was a slow process, and it made a lot of sense to him and to keeping that game going, even after the cooperative at Motion Twin decided to move on to something else. He talks about how he favors the current model of Evil Empire that is not cooperative, but he still is appreciative of how that works and what it meant for that game. Thank you for listening. You can get more from me at gamespeed.com. Email me about the show. It's jeff.grubb@gmail.com with the subject line, How Games Make Money. You can reach out to me on Twitter as well, where I'm at Jeff Grubb. The show is at HGMM Show. You can also support this show by going to patreon.com/HGMM. That is the How Games Make Money Patreon. You can support the show, anything you throw towards us. It's going to keep this show going. There's a special subscribers-only Discord that you can get into through that, where there's a channel in my Discord that you can join us there and talk to us about games. If you do that, I really appreciate it. Okay, that's enough. Let's get on with the show. Joining me now is Steve from Evil Empire. Go ahead and say hi to everybody.
Hey, Jeff and everyone listening. My name's Steve Philby. I am the CEO of Evil Empire and the do everything that the devs don't want to do guy from Motion Twin, which is a workers cooperative based out of Bordeaux in France. And at the moment we're working on Dead Cells. We took over development on that project from Motion Twin. When I left Motion Twin, I'm actually ex-Motion Twin myself. So that Motion Twin can focus on their next game and so that we could keep pumping out Dead Cells content for our fans.
Let's start with Dead Cells. What was it like having that game up and running, a well-oiled machine, and then starting a new company to take over development of that? How did that go?
It was kind of a long and gradual process in the sense that I joined Motion Twin in 2014. So I came on to help them move from web free to play, which is what they had done at that time for the previous sort of 13 years. And I was there to help them move over to mobile free to play. As they felt like they kind of missed the turn on that. So we did that. We released four or five mobile games, and very quickly realized that it wasn't the type of development that we were really interested in doing. And I say that we, you know, as I was a part of the Motion Twin team at that time. And so we made the decision to basically bail on mobile and bail on web free to play and move towards PC, you know, air quotes, make a real game type thing. And so then we sort of started from scratch again, like, okay, well, how do you go about making a real game and everything? And obviously, you know, Dead Cells has done what it's done, and that's sort of I think we've done that to death in terms of like looking at the early access and how we did it and everything. But it got to the point where, okay, the game's out, we've released it on consoles, it's still selling really, really well, and we've got, you know, heaps of noise from the community of players who are saying, hey, like, what are you doing with Dead Cells? You know, when's the next bit of Dead Cells going to come out? Like, what's happening? And Motion Twin at that particular point in time, we're like just exhausted, done with it. Like, this was end of 2018. So I technically left Motion Twin end of 2016. And then ran like all of the business and marketing and production management through my own company from like all through 2017 and then all through 2018. And so, you know, Dead Cells had been in production of some description since 2014. So we're talking about like a 4-year on and off development process followed by like, you know, a very heavy 15 months of early access. And so people just wanted to change. Like Emotion Twins, a workers cooperative, it's flat hierarchy. There's no boss. So there's no sort of notion of like, well, the company exists to make a profit. So this is what we're going to do. So they were like, well, we're done. And so some of their members of Emotion Twin were kind of like, well, let's just mic drop it and leave it there. And others were like, no, that's dumb. We've got this golden goose. We got to look after it. And so I was obviously there in the background with my guys who work for me, my company, and sort of saying, hey, well, you know, like, you know us, like I used to work at Motion Twin. I'll call Tom, who's another ex Motion Twin guy. We'll start a company and we'll take over the development of Dead Cells. So Motion Twin maintain all of the control, have veto rights in terms of all of like creative decisions and everything like that. But we take care of all of the work of like hiring people, you know, organizing the development process, doing check-ins with Motion Twin, and then actually getting the game, like getting updates and DLCs out to people. And that was something that traditionally Motion Twin, we had. I will use we when I talk about Motion Twin, because I guess I still kind of feel like I'm part of the team. But we had always had troubles with that because of the lack of structure internally. There was no one who was really interested in being some kind of like executive producer or taking care of something on there, like some project that wasn't the project that we're working on. And so then when we had the structure and the like everything in place to take care of that and propose sort of like a bit of a turnkey solution, say, hey, well, we'll do it all. You know us, you trust us, let's go. They were like, okay, well, we'll try it. And so we set up a contract that basically allowed us to eject either side of the corporation at any point if it's not working. And that was what, beginning of 2019. So here we are almost in 2021, which is terrifying. And it still seems to be working all right. So it's kind of like, you know, we're all friends. We all have worked together for a long time, and it just naturally arose out of creative, like the desire to go in a different direction creatively. But at the same time, you know, that business sense of saying, okay, well, like you don't just drop an immense indie success like Dead Cells and leave it to die in the corner. So a bit of pragmatism that came in, and I guess just like timing, like we happened to be there, we happened to have the infrastructure set up, which allowed us to then very quickly and easily create Evil Empire and take over the production. And we share space, you know, we're in the same office space, what we did until COVID sent everybody heading for the hills. But, you know, so we're like, when we're here, we're like, well, we'll hire some guys. We'll just sit over there in the corner. And if you're not sure about something, you come and see us. And like, we'll talk at lunch and, you know, it'll continuously be an exchange. And so that has worked quite well up until now.
So then how would you say it's all going? Is Motion Twin like not vetoing everything? Are all the DLCs coming out like you hope they would? How is it going so far?
On the whole, it's growing really, really well. I think COVID has introduced some constraints because there's only two members of the Motion Twin team who are in the office, and they're really starting to gear up and push into their next project. Like recently in my last sort of like couple of months since they've made it official that they're all like go and work from home, and like most of our team still here in the office, we sort of felt a little bit like there's too much distance, and I think what works for us is actually having that regular communication. But apart from that, the only sort of like I guess beneficial side effect of that is that they pretty much let us do what we want. We rarely have any sort of situations where they're like, nah, this is rubbish, you know. And they might like not like a direction. Like I think one time we wanted to put like ghosts in a level, and they felt like it would make more sense in another level that we're going to do like later. And they were like, no, do it this one. And we didn't agree, but they were like, yeah, it doesn't matter, we're going to do it that way. And so it's not like major problems or anything like that. But it does require that regular back and forth and lots of communication. And I think COVID has made that a little bit more difficult. But yeah, DLC's coming out. Like we released the Bad Seed DLC in February of this year. We've got more content coming soon. We've released like 3 or 4 free updates, including a level, a whole bunch of like major system reworks and like things that actually impact like fundamentally the way that the game's built, which is kind of like a lot of control to leave to a third party. And so we'll, you know, we bring them like a little proposition, say, hey guys, this is what we're thinking about doing. You know, this system, community's been whinging about it a lot. We want to change it. What do you think? And we have a discussion, you know, like Matthew Kaptagel, who's their, he's like their point man for game design. He actually happens to be in the office. And so we'll just grab him regularly and be like, you, coffee, let's talk. and so that works. That's working quite well. Can't really complain about anything like that at the moment.
Can I ask, and maybe this is something you'd want to keep close to the vest, but how does the money arrangement work? You make the game now and you make the products and you sell the DLC. Who gets the money? How is that split?
So like Motion Twins are a workers cooperative, but essentially it's just like a, I don't know what you would call them in the States, like a, an LLC or something like that. It's just a company, but they have specific rules that govern how they work amongst themselves. So they're a company, Evil Empire is a company, an LLC, but we're more traditional in the sense that, you know, like I'm the CEO, we've got other founders, and then we have employees. It's not like everybody's equal. So they're two separate business entities, and then there's just a contract between the two entities that governs how it all works. And so Motion Twin retains the IP. They have all of the SKUs like hosted through their backends and everything like that. So they get all the money, and then we just get the remuneration that we get based on that contract. So it's like Motion Twin is continuing to do everything from sort of like a public perspective in terms of like interactions with third parties, like, you know, whether it's Steam or Nintendo or whatever. But we just do the work behind the scenes. So, you know, like I still have Motion Twin email address, and quite often I just present myself as a member of Motion Twin, and then later on have the discussion, be like, okay, so let's talk. We're signing NDAs and stuff like that. Technically, I'm not a Motion Twin member. Here's the deal. Here's how it works. You'll still work with me every single day, but you might need to have like our company, Evil Empire, sign an NDA with you if we want to be able to work on this thing. So, I mean, it's quite simple. But the contract and the way that we set everything up, I think, is reflective of the proximity of the relationship that we have. You know, games are a notoriously tricky cultural product to create. Like, they're hard. And so you can't, I don't think that you can just sort of set up this kind of outsourcing relationship willy-nilly, potentially between, like, you know, if you're Ubisoft and you have an outsourcing company based somewhere, you can do it because it's very professionally motivated, but their Motion Twin is a workers cooperative, and so they don't have the structure internally to handle that, and so it's the proximity, I think, of the relationship that allows us to pull that off.
I was going to ask you, what is the value in spinning off something like Evil Empire and letting it handle development? I mean, we see other indie developers make a lot of games and then eventually happen upon a golden goose. I think we're seeing that with Hades and that studio. Did it just not fit with the cooperative model, or did the people at Motion Twin just not want to do that and not have an internal team dedicated to this? What's the story there?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with both of what you just said there. Because Motion Twin is a workers cooperative with a flat hierarchy, and just the way that they work and the way that they their relationship with work and business means that they're not interested in it. They don't want to grow. They don't want to have people who aren't directly involved in the production of the of their products. Like, I mean, they want everyone to be involved and really actually contributing to the game. So that was, you know, it was a bit weird for me when I arrived, because I was the first sort of like non-productive member, and very quickly I became a productive member. It's like, all right, you sit in on these design meetings, like start contributing to this, like understand what you're actually building, and then contribute to building the thing. So yeah, from a human perspective, technically speaking, there's nothing in the co-op model that stops them from doing what we did. They could have like started their own company, set up a subsidiary, put like some kind of manager in it. Like, they could have done that with me. And actually, when I was at Motion Twin, I had argued, and a couple of us had argued for doing just that. And they previously tried this kind of thing, like way back in the sort of mid 2000s. And it just never really worked out, because there was no one sort of behind it to drive it. And you know, philosophically it didn't gel with what they wanted to do. So yeah, I mean, I think it's just a specific quirk of, in particularly working with Motion Twin. And like, obviously for us, it's an amazing way to kickstart a studio and then be able to build our own games off the side of it. Like, we don't see ourselves just building Dead Cells or just sort of like doing work for hire for Motion Twin for the rest of all the whole time, you know, so.
Are you happier as a CEO than you were in the cooperative model, or is it not about happiness? Is there some other aspect to it that I'm not considering?
That's a existential question. it's a personal question as well, in the sense that the cooperative model is something, actually it was that sold me on Motion Twin. When a friend handed me the job offer and was like, you know, you should apply for this. I looked at it and I was like, oh, free to play. Nah, not doing that. It wasn't a model that gelled with me at all. Philosophically, I'm not really big on mobile sort of like extractive pay to win sort of strategies, that kind of thing. But I looked at this cooperative model and I was like, now that, on the other hand, that's something I could gel with. I guess I'm sort of more left-leaning, socially speaking. And so I got in there and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And I think there's a lot of benefits to that, that model, because, you know, like at that time I had no experience in the video game industry. And so like a professional company like wouldn't have given me a chance, like maybe as an intern or something like that. But I wouldn't have been able to rock into Motion Twin, immediately have like, founder level power and be able to do whatever the hell I wanted. And you know, so I took that and ran with it. And so it's great in that sense that, if you have the character that's going to let you do that, then you can really sort of blossom in that situation. Where I personally started to butt up against limits was, I guess when we started having decisions that I just didn't agree with, you know, like we were going in directions where it's like, okay, we're going to kill our existing revenue streams, and take a huge risk. Like Dead Cells was an amazingly dangerous gamble, in the sense that we literally abandoned working on all of our other products and focused everything on Dead Cells. So it was like, either that works or we go and get other jobs. And I sort of thought that was madness. I was like, well, why don't we just have like these two people over here who have expressed interest in continuing to look after the web and the mobile stuff? Why don't we just let them do that and build sort of like a separate team? And so like, you know, there's some friction in that sense, in that you're always in discussion and negotiation with people, which can be tiring. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to just a personal choice. So to answer the question very directly, yes, I am happier in this role as, you know, I guess more of a traditional CEO. But there's a lot of things from Motion Twin that we've bought with us, and that we really want to sort of maintain. So for example, really making sure that people, when they join, have the power to influence the game. Like if you're a gameplay programmer on a DLC level or on Dead Cells or something like that, you're responsible for that level. Like you're building it from A to Z. If you propose something that is going to get us in trouble with Motion Twin, because like they're going to look at it and be like, this is ridiculous, you can't put FPS like sci-fi mechanics in this level, like what are you talking about, then we'll say no. But we want to really keep the ability for everyone to be able to take, like, grab the ball and run with it. So I mean, yes, happier with this model, because it takes out a lot of that friction, but I was happy with Motion Twin. I think a lot of the reasons that I left Motion Twin had nothing to do with Motion Twin. It's also personal reasons, like on the side of things. Like it was the first time I'd been away from home for a long period of time and was homesick and just didn't know what to call that, you know, so things like that. But Yeah, no, I think there's advantages to both systems. And we've tried to take the best of what we experienced at Motion Twin and implement it here anyway, in terms of like flattening hierarchy, empowering people to do as much as they can. That's a buzzword, but yeah, it's kind of true.
Motion Twin is a flat structure, but it is also a cooperative. And you don't have to be a cooperative to be a flat structure and vice versa.
Absolutely.
But it seems to me, talking to you, that the flat structure seems to speak to you even more so than the cooperative model. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the cooperative model for me poses some... issues like from a philosophical perspective, in the sense that it's like, okay, what are the rules for the distribution of income? Does everyone get an equal part of the thing? Like, is it so like one of the things at Motion Twin is that if you join the company, once you get through your test period, so through your first year, you're instantly entitled to your portion of revenues that are being generated at that particular point in time, even though you've never written a single line of code for Dead Cells or contributed to the project at all. So you had some, you know, you have absurdities. Like when I first rocked up, like I'd been there for 6 months and done bugger all in terms of like actual contribution or releasing games or whatever, and like I get this big check at the end of the year and I'm like, what the hell, like this is amazing, you know, but at the same time I'm like, did I really deserve that? Is that a good idea? So that side of things, but that, you know, again, that's, you're not obliged to do it in the way that Motion Twin does. There are a lot of cooperatives out there that do handle distribution of income differently. It's really what the cooperative model is really about, is just having employees who are able to meaningfully impact the way that they organize their own work. And that's something that I guess I don't agree with entirely, in the sense that you have to have certain types of people involved in that work, like in that decision process, like that decision making process. And if you start bringing absolutely everybody in, and you know, you have your interns who've just arrived who also have like, you know, actual meaningful vote and control over the way things are worked, you can sometimes end up with decisions that you don't identify with. So that's something that I wanted to avoid. And I mean, you know, like that's like, again, that's a completely personal choice and I guess a philosophical orientation, and people will judge that or think about that, whatever they will. And then on the flat hierarchy side, I think that for me is more interesting, in the sense that we try to provide the opportunity for people to impact things where it makes sense. You know, we don't really want to be having like eternal debates about what temperature the air conditioning is going to be at. Like that, I think that like that is literally the only time I've ever had to veto anything here. It was just like, y'all can't be arguing over this for as long as you have been on Slack. It's going to be at 23 and that's it. Like just stop. But the rest of the time saying, okay, well, we hire these people because they're intelligent, creative people, and we want that intelligence and that creativity, so give them the space to do it. But then provide a structure and a framework in consultation with them that allows them to do their job and not have to worry about all the rest of the stuff. Whereas when you're in that like completely flat, completely cooperative model, everybody's concerned about everything. And that was one of the things that could be sometimes tiring at Motion Twin, is you get in these long philosophical debates about like whether or not it's a good thing to give money to charities, you know, and like you're sitting there thinking, of course it is, like what the hell is wrong with that? And the next thing you know, you've spent 5 hours of your day trying to convince people that there's nothing wrong with charities or something like that. And it just leads to some strange moments, so, like Twilight Zone moments. So yeah, anyway, it sort of comes off as a bit whingy, everything that I sort of said there.
No, I think that most people listening to this, I'm assuming, have probably never worked in this sort of business structure before. And they are, like me, going to probably hear this and be like, yeah, if my place of work operated like that, I would assume those kinds of things would come up and would present problems, and I would wonder how I would handle them, and here I would like to hear how other people would handle them. So it's useful to me. let's speak more broadly about Dead Cells. It seems like it's in a really strong place. 3 million copies sold. Lots of DLC coming out. Lots of even more updates coming out. It's on mobile now, and you're not working on a free-to-play game. You're making this instead. I'm sure that's good. So just where is the game headed?
Well, I guess we've actually been talking to everybody about that. We go to the pub regularly after work, and so we talk with our employees about this kind of stuff regularly. And the first DLC that we released, The Bad Seed, in February, it was so rushed. We didn't crunch, actually. We were very proud of that, except we had to stay late the night of the release because we pushed some really broken stuff into it, but I'll talk about that another time. But we got, you know, like, we pushed the game out and we were like, huh, you know, we didn't even have time to realize that it was super rushed and there were a lot of things that we could do better. And so now that we're working on more content at the moment, we really took that with us and we're like, okay, how can we do this better? How can we sort of take a breather? And even though we planned that into the development, and we have, you know, we're strictly anti-crunch policy, and we also work 7 hours a day because France, which you gotta love. We still, like, we were sitting about it, talking about it last week, saying, yeah, we're still a little bit short. We could still probably do this better. So I think the rhythm that we took on in terms of creation of content for the last year was a bit too intense. We could have taken a chill pill. And so that's one of the things that we're going to do. We're about to ship, like, some major stuff, like freeze some major content, in the next, you know, sort of short period of time. And then after that, we're having a week long game jam where we're just down to and we say, all right, you know, everybody put your auto responder on your email, like, we're not here. And we're going to do a game jam just to chill out. And then we're also taking like a month where everybody who's technically like on the technical side of the program is just going to clean everything, like go down that big to-do list of like, this sucks, that's broken, this slows us down, this is crap, so that when we kick back up into our next like production cycle, we'll be in a situation where we're not, you know, dealing with broken tools or getting slowed down by crappy processes and this kind of stuff. So we're a little bit stressed right now, but I think if you give us a month, we'll be in a much different place. I mean, that said, the Bad Seed DLC was a great success. Like, I haven't looked at the figures, but it was, you know, it's some huge amount of copies, like, it was like 600,000 or 700,000 copies, or maybe more, 800,000. I can't remember. We've gone past 3.5 million copies of the game sold. Like, it's still selling strongly. Community is still on our case. The testing that we've done on the content that we're preparing to release now is like, the players are just super stoked with it because we've really upped the ante. Like, we had one guy actually sort of say to us the other day, he's like, yeah, now that I've been playing these, like, this content here, some of the early stuff kind of feels like a bit dated. So that was a big boon for us, I guess, and the team's happy. But then we've got other things that we're working on, sort of like extra projects. You know, we got our own game, obviously, that we're always sort of like poking away at in the background. So we've got lots of opportunities for everybody in the team to move around and change ideas and not necessarily be stuck. Like, stuck, that's a air quotes stuck, like first world problems,
right?
On Dead Cells. But yeah, it's really quite positive at the moment.
One thing I hadn't thought of until you just brought it up is Evil Empire is not a cooperative. You have to think about growth, and you are working on Dead Cells, which is a very popular game right now, but that's not going to last forever. And so you have to think about what's next. And I guess that means more games, right? You're going to make more games. What does that look like? Is that on a timeline of 2 years, or is it something closer to 5 years?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of unannounced stuff that we're secretly sort of chipping away at that, you know, if we manage to pull off, I think it's going to freak, like, really blow people's minds. We've got, you know, sort of like Dead Cells related things, and then other projects like that we can't talk about right now, but they're sort of all on a like public release, or at least publicly talking about it, at least 18 months to 2 years. And then, you know, like early access release cycles. So the next sort of like 2 to 4 year sort of schedule. But there's, you know, there's sort of like three bigger things that we could be working on that'll come out of that. And that for us, like for Evil Empire as a studio, is really exciting. And then having said that, like, you know, we're not in any way like exclusively Motion Twins partner, but if their next game starts to be ready to come out, like we'll be here sort of saying, hey, like, do you want us to help you with that? Like, do you want us to take care of the release management? If it really kicks butt, do you want us to do the same thing that we did with Dead Cells and continue making proto stuff on that? And then we're also in the process of trying to carve out time to be able to regularly, like once a month, take 3 days in the middle of the week where the whole team works on our own project or multiple different smaller projects. You know, like that's what this game jam that we're going to do next month is all about. Because like you said, yeah, like Dead Cells is not going to last forever. We might not be working on Motion Twins' next project, or their next project might suck, or you know, like any of the stuff that we're working on behind the scenes might fall through. And so we've always got to be preparing to say, like, we're our own game studio now. We want to make our own IP. When's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? That's stuff that we've been too busy working on. Like I said, I feel like we bit off a little bit more than we could chew in terms of the release schedule for Dead Cells this year. And so that's something we're looking at changing over the next 6 to 12 months. So we hope to have our own production up and running. Yeah, within 12 months. So 2020, that's the 2021, sorry, that's the goal at the moment.
Steve Philby, thank you so much for joining me. I really do appreciate it.
No problems. Thanks for having me on the show. It's always nice to sit down and talk games.
Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want people to find you on social media? You want to tell people about the game, where they can find it on sale or something like that?
I think I would probably say that if you're interested in co-op model or anything that you've heard about, maybe check out the co-op mode talk that we did at the GDC last year with a couple of other co-op studios. If you're interested in anything the myself or Evil Empire are doing, you can just search Steve Philby Evil Empire. You'll find me. Keep your mind open when it comes to co-op models and thinking about how you organize your companies, because I think there's a lot of different ideas and things that we can change as an industry to generally make things better. Because like as we've seen over the last couple of months, there's definitely room for improvement.
Yeah, I think this business model, the cooperative model specifically, it seems like it has a lot of potential to work in a lot of different situations. Like it clearly worked with Motion Twin, and I would like to see it maybe tried in larger cases with larger studios and see how it would work. I'm gonna get out of here though. Thank you for listening, everybody. Until next week, have a good one. Take care of yourself and goodbye.